Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Bruins score a win over the Avalanche, the winless Colorado Avalanche. And I'll be honest with you, I was trying to stay up and watch the game. I fell asleep, missed the whole first period. I woke up on the couch, and they were coming out of the first intermission, and I thought that was the beginning of the game. I thought I had just dozed off, you know, for a few minutes, and that I hadn't missed an hour of the time out of my life.
It's a good nap.
But no, it was a good solid nap. I realized, oh God, I missed the whole first period. Went back and watched it again. The fourth line, scoring goals. Corpusalo, not great out there by any means, but good enough as the Bruins take down the Avalanche and improve to 3-2 on the season. The fourth line is excelling right now. I think they're the story of the year so far. They've been the most consistent part of the team, I'd say, in terms of the other forward lines, in terms of any defensive pairing, and certainly when it comes to the goaltending, that hasn't been great so far and wasn't great last night. Korpisalo wasn't terrible, but those three goals on 25 shots, there's a couple of softies in there, and it's really, I think that's it. That's the story of this team right now is Koepke, who opened the scoring there with the second goal of the year, Peek and Zadorov with assists. Peek had it wasn't Peek, it was Beecher at the end, who had the empty netter to put that one away with 2 minutes left to go. As the Bruins really, listen, I didn't have this on my bingo card. I thought that the improvements that they made at the top with Elias Lindholm, with Zadorov on the defense, and sort of other guys that they've mixed and matched, that was going to be the story. And Pastrnak did have a power play goal in the game, and Coyle did as well, his first of the year. He's been sort of quiet so far. Pastrnak's been better, but hasn't exactly been setting the world on fire. Really, the story of this team is that fourth line. People love this fourth line. I think that even though it's early in the year, they're making an early play to become sort of this folk hero. Fourth lines tend to do that anyway.
Oh, yeah.
People love fourth lines. People love fourth liners. I heard Razor talking about it. He's absolutely right. People love that fourth line on the championship team with Campbell and Paille and them. And it's just you're drawn to it. You know, you're drawn to that fourth line. They're supposed to be physical. If they score, it's not expected, but it's always a nice little treat. This team is getting carried by their fourth line right now.
So this is Scott McLaughlin's lead story on WEEI.com right now. And some of the numbers are ridiculous. So they've been on the ice for 40 minutes of 5-on-5 play. They've outscored opponents 8-0 in those minutes.
Is that good? 8-0, is that good?
No other line in the entire NHL is better than +4 right now.
Nasty.
No other line. And not no other.
Top line that includes
any line.
Dreisaitl and McDavid and all that?
Any line.
No, any line.
There are 17 teams, whole teams, exclamation point, Scott writes, that have yet to score 8 5-on-5 goals this season. And your fourth line has 8 5-on-5 goals. So I'm going to ask you a question similar to one I asked, I believe, maybe after week one against for the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Does this feel sustainable?
No. No, it does not.
Because I'm always into sustainability.
I love it. I'm having a great time. I'm enjoying it. I like watching this team. And when that line's out there, it's great because you – seems like there's a 50-50 chance you're going to see a goal every time they're out there. But no, this isn't sustainable. But I also don't think that the rest of the team and their offensive struggles are sustainable either. I think they'll break out eventually too. Pavel Zaki, he had another breakaway last night. He's got to score another goal. He didn't. I think he only had one in the entire Panther series last year. He had one opening night and then hasn't scored since then, and really went in the tank scoring-wise at various points last year. He's someone who I think is gonna start. He's just a little snake bit right now, and that breakaway was another good example of that. It was a perfect pass from Pastrnak. He had a wide open, one-on-one, and he just couldn't finish. And that's been his deal. But I don't think that's going to keep up. Marchand, who left with an injury, came back after that very weird play with Mikko Rantanen, where it looked like he elbowed him, but then in slow motion it looked like he didn't really, and mm-hmm. Marchand went flying, and it was sort of like, okay, was he that really happened? But then he left the game. He's down in the tunnel, and it's like, if he's faking it, he's going really the extra mile.
The hard sell.
That's a very, very hard sell there. He did come back. He later returned. Montgomery said that he's going to be okay and he's going to play. And what was the other thing? Zadorov in his fight with that Steinberg guy with his dad taping it. Did you see that?
No.
That was funny. Zadorov gets jumped by this guy, Matt Steinberg, and they cut to the crowd afterwards, and his dad's just sort of this, you know, this bald guy with a goatee, and he's in there videotaping it like, yeah.
Once a hockey dad, always a hockey dad. He's probably been doing that for 20 years at various ice rinks.
I would imagine, and I'll say this.
You don't want to change?
Steinberg kind of brought it to Zadorov, and he had to jump to punch him, and he was getting after him. So Big Z's going to have to, he's going to have to toughen up a little bit. He's going to have to make an example out of one of these guys, because that guy, that Steinberg guy, he just got right in his kitchen.
I don't like the Big Z thing.
Yeah, he doesn't like it either. Yeah. They interviewed him after the game. He's like, don't call me Big Z, please.
Yeah.
I don't like that. Don't call me that. I don't want this big skates to fill.
Yeah.
And I just prefer if we stay away from it. And, you know, he's a good player. We'll see if he ever comes close to being anything, any percentage of what Zdeno Chara was. But in general, I'd say that was a good win to start off the road trip here for the Bruins. They got the Utah Hockey Club coming up on Friday, I want to say.
Speaking of things I don't
like. Excuse me, on Saturday. Utah Hockey Club, terrible,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
terrible.
What are we doing?
I don't know. Call them the Utes or something.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Can you not do that? Because it's the Utah Utes, like it's probably trademarked. You probably couldn't sell anything.
I would say probably not. People would say that's worse than the hockey club because it's already the name of the college team.
Then
you got to call them something.
Then you'd have two Utes.
Two Utes.
What is a Ute?
That's good. Good humor there.
That
Stiz doesn't even get it.
Quite good. Stiz, you don't know that.
Now that was a dad joke.
He knows that ref.
That was
my
a dad
Vinny.
Joke.
My cousin Vinny.
That was an actual dad joke. Not like you getting offended the other day about a dad.
Because
joke.
It wasn't a dad joke. It wasn't a good joke. But it wasn't
poor
a dad
Quinnipiac
joke.
Cheerleaders. There's so many letters when they have to spell Quinnipiac.
Right, but that's not a dad joke. Dad joke is a bad pun, and it was not a bad pun. It was just a dumb observation.
There's a sick day in between, and he's still a little.
This
fired
has been
up
an
emotional.
Argument for almost
still,
a week
yes.
now.
Well, there's words have meanings, do they not?
It's dad smoldering.
Joke, a dad joke is a dad joke. That means something to me.
Is there, I don't even. Is there a true definition of a dad joke?
Yes,
it has
dad
to be
jokes
a bad pun.
Or puns, generally,
really?
Yes. Puns or some kind of word-related joke. It's not, observations generally aren't, and that wasn't a great observation. It was just sort of a stupid idea, but I'm not trying to defend my joke beyond the fact that it wasn't a dad joke.
You don't like the classification.
It wasn't very good. I take issue with the classification. Exactly.
A dad joke is an unoriginal or predictable joke, especially a pun
okay.
of a type supposedly
okay,
told
so
by fathers.
Okay, so I stand corrected.
So it was a bad dad joke.
It was a bad dad joke. All right, fair enough.
Okay.
It was unoriginal. I don't know if it was unoriginal, but it wasn't a very inspired observation.
It's not original because no one else would be like, ah, oh, this thing is funny. Like,
yeah, Quinnipiac,
right.
Yeah.
A lot of letters, and there's a Q and a U. That makes it weird, too.
It does. It is. It's a weird word. Anyway, let's go to the phone. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Ray is in Revere. He has a thought on the NFL draft. Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, listen, I'm looking at the Patriots draft. I heard you guys talking about Polk. And, you know, guys, I have to say, after Drake May, I think this draft was a bust for the Patriots. And, I think that the draft is the way to build in the NFL. You really don't build through free agency. And I'm very disappointed with, you know, just the picks. Like, just look at what happened there with the left tackle, Wallace. They took a right tackle.
Mm-hmm.
A starting left tackle was taken one pick ahead of them and another one five picks ahead of them with Kansas City.
Yep.
I think that they need to get this fixed before the next draft. I don't think the guy who made the picks this year should be doing next year's picks. I wonder about your thoughts.
You might be onto something there, Ray. I'm not sure. We'll see what Elliot Wolf, if
the guy
is one guy, basically him and Matt Groh, I guess, is was in on it as well. But yeah, I mean, this draft isn't looking like a grand slam. That's for sure. It's a little early to say.
Way
it's a total
early.
Bust. But so far, it doesn't look good. Jalen Polk's having all sorts of problems. Wallace is on IL. Robinson's on IL. Baker's not played yet. Dial's a special teamer. Milton doesn't play, and Bell doesn't play. So it's like, yeah, I mean, it doesn't look great. If Drake May has a good rookie season and it looks like you have your franchise quarterback, none of that's really going to matter.
Not at
right?
all. People will say they had a good draft in 2024.
Yep.
If he's as good as some people think he is, and we will play some audio later, a few different people are, you think I'm a Drake May guy, maniac, homer, whatever you want to call it. There are others with more national profiles that are even more in on Drake May. And if he lives up to, I would even say, like 80% of some of the hype, then people, Layden who? Oh, that's right. Yeah, Polk didn't really work out. But hey, at least we got Drake May for the next 15 years, and we're paying him $500 million because he's a stud. And I also, I'm not giving up Layden Robinson. If you made me pick another guy that I think could be around for the long haul and contribute, I'm not giving up on Layden Robinson. Wallace, I just blended them together there, made one player. Wallace, I don't feel great about. The two receivers, you can't feel great about.
No.
You may still hold out hope. You may still, based on your draft, you know, how much you liked them or whatever. But so far, they've been really disappointing.
So far, it's a Dobson-Boyd redux, and I think it's the same rounds, too. I think Dobson was a second and Boyce was a fourth. And that's, I don't even remember Josh Boyce playing in a game, let alone whatever. And that's exactly what Javon Baker's doing right now. Jalen Polk, could he be better than Aaron Dobson? I remember Aaron Dobson got beat out by that undrafted kid whose name escapes me now. He had the game-winning touchdown. Kembrell Tompkins. Thank you very much.
Steel trap.
I can always remember Bob. So Kembrell Tompkins! I just couldn't remember it right then. He got in trouble, didn't he? Didn't Tompkins try and rip off the league or something? He was part of one of those fraud cases against the league.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't recall that.
Something with that. I hope I'm not speaking out of turn.
Big Baby went to jail over that.
Big Baby did for sure.
He's like, I hope I'm right. I'm accusing him of a felony.
I know.
On live radio.
I thought it was him. Maybe I'm wrong. Let me see. Kembrell Tompkins. Kembrell Tompkins pleads guilty to stealing COVID relief funds. Boom. Score one for Arcand.
Oh, so not the league, the government.
It was.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Yes, I believe so. That's not the league. That's a lot worse than ripping off the league.
Federal government.
See
the pokey?
Paid back stolen COVID funds after he falsified identities to swipe over $130,000. Listen, everyone was trying to get a little piece of
COVID.
Oh,
my God. You know how much of that COVID money was fraudulent?
Oh, man.
And will never be accounted for.
That's true.
Is that enough?
He wasn't a big enough star, I don't think. But, like, the guys who really could cover it, we need this loan. We need it. Hey, come on. You got to pay us the loan.
Brady took PPE money, didn't
he? Oh, yeah. A lot of people did. And I think a lot of companies did it in a way that was technically on the up and up, but really wasn't on the up and up. Like, I think some people smartly and loophole-wise took advantage of the situation. But $133,000 doesn't sound like enough to me.
Tompkins pleaded guilty to one count of unauthorized access device fraud and one count of aggravated identity theft for the scheme. Yeah, that's probably the biggest, the identity theft part. Netted him nearly $300,000 in funds meant to help COVID relief. Per prosecutors, he withdrew nearly $230,000 from Miami area ATMs. He's driving around different ATMs.
How do you do that?
Withdrawing
all
the money.
Isn't there usually like a $400 limit?
If I ever had that much money in my account at one time, I would know, but I don't.
How many ATMs did you have to hit to get to $100,000?
He was only ordered to pay back $133,000.
So he got to keep. Did he go to jail?
He was sentenced to 25 months in prison, followed by a year's supervised release. So yes.
Oh, okay.
Ah, 2 years.
I don't want to do 2 years in a Florida pokey.
No, I would not either. I certainly would not. 617-7. How do we get to that? Oh, because we were talking about Aaron Dobson. 617-779-7937. There is your phone number. And there is your Bruins minute, I guess, is what that was. As the Bruins get a nice win over the Colorado Avalanche. They got the Utah Hockey Club and then the Nashville Predators coming up next to close out their road trip. And then they're back at TD Garden. When we come back, we'll talk with Tommy Curran right after Jackson fishes his trending out of the garbage and tells you what's going on in the world.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Actually, I took an iron to it, so it's okay now. Speaking of the Bruins, they got the 5-3 win over the Avalanche last night in Colorado. They got goals from Coyle, Koepke, Pastrnak, Lindholm, and an empty netter from Johnny Beezer, although they let up 3 power play goals. Korpisalo got his first win with 22 saves on 25 shots. Up next, they play Utah at the Utah Hockey Club on Saturday night. Yesterday at yesterday's Patriots practice, Marcus Jones, Verdarian Lowe, and Ramondre Stevenson did not participate. 7 other players were limited. Quarterback Drake May was on the injury report, but was a full participant. The Pats will head to London tonight for Sunday's matchup with the Jags. Week 7 of the NFL schedule begins tonight with Denver at New Orleans. Kicks off at 8:15, and you can hear the call of it on WEEI 8:50 a.m. Westwood One's coverage will begin at 7:30. Also tonight, the BC Eagles take on Virginia Tech. Kickoff is at 7:30. You can catch that game right here on 93.7 WEEI. Tonight, it's game three of the ALCS between the Yankees and the Guardians. The Yankees have a 2-0 serious lead. And also the NLCS game four between the Dodgers and Mets will begin at 8:08. I'm Jackson. That is what's trending on WEI and WEI.com.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.